You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
We need solutions.
You can't do it.
Blah, blah, blah.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
I love this. Half the audience is in favor of me. The other half's calling me a puppet. That's good. That's good. It's a good split.
You're doing your job today,
keep,
pal.
Keep banging your drum, Ryan. I'm loving this tune. My lord, you're such a puppet. Blah, 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 blah. That's good. That brings me into the sanity factory that we like to call the roundtable. Christy Blatchard is here from the National Post. Hello, Christy.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah. Bill Carroll is host of the Bill Carroll Show Fridays at 2 o'clock, host of the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa. Hello, Bill.
And blah, blah to you, too.
Oh, that's a new greeting we're using. Marika Walsh, political reporter for the Globe and Mail's Ottawa Bureau, who's been hammering these politicians with questions. Not ones that they've been answering all that well, but hammering nonetheless. Marika, great to have you.
Hi, guys.
Marika, I'm a little bit worried about your eating habits. I've been watching on Instagram what you've been eating. I know it's the campaign trail, but a woman cannot live on potato chips alone. I'm just giving, she can. It's a dad moment. It's a little dad moment.
I mean, I would tell you that the last 2 weeks have told me that I can, Jay. It's just at what cost?
The only question is, for how long?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
All right, we're learning more today about Conservative leader Andrew Scheer and his dual Canadian-U.S. citizenship. But he is in the process of renouncing it. This from our friends at CTV News. The Globe and Mail first reporting on Scheer's dual citizenship yesterday. I can start with you, Bill.
I'm sorry. I nodded off there.
Non-issue?
We're going to talk about what now?
Yeah.
According to the CBC in 2017, 22 parliamentarians, by their count, that includes a couple of senators, had dual or triple citizenship. Half of them were liberals. There's no law against it. Who cares?
Christy?
Go ahead, Marika. Well, I mean, I think the reason why it's a story now, and it was reported first by my boss, Bob Fyfe, is because the Conservatives are the ones who have made this an issue in previous elections when Liberal leaders or NDP leaders held a dual citizenship. And Andrew Scheer himself criticized Michael Jean for holding dual citizenship before she got the governor general post. So I think that's what makes it more of a story today. Bill's absolutely right. It is legal, but it has been made an issue in the past by Conservatives.
Yeah, but I think with the governor general, you're talking about the de facto head of state, right? The representative of the head of state. That may be a little bit of a different matter than the prime minister, who's just another member of parliament chosen from his team to lead their party. So you're right. There's a little hypocrisy there. But boy, there's a lot of hypocrisy going around in this election, isn't there?
So, Christy, I guess you get to split the vote. Christy?
I don't think there's anything particularly sinister about this, but I am troubled, as I always am, by the fact that if it's as benign as they wish it to be, and I believe it is benign, that he has, you know, his family moved here and he acquired the citizenship because his family, his American father, married his Canadian mother and moved here. It wasn't a thing that he chose, but it still would make me more comfortable if these people, the leaders, the candidates, would just be upfront about things. Well, you know, particularly if you got in your back closet, the fact that you've attacked others for the same sin.
Yeah, listen.
But he's not fighting against it like the others did when they were criticized.
No, but
he's
saying,
I've already sent in the papers to renounce
As a dual citizen myself, I can say that this is something that you'd want to clear up well ahead of time. And what kind of bonehead doesn't think that this is going to come up at some point? I don't think it's anything nefarious either, but it's something you want to clear off the docket before you want to become Canada's prime minister and hope it just doesn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I think he did that when he submitted his papers. Oh. Maybe he should have submitted it. But
it's not easy to renounce your American citizenship. Trust me on that.
No, it's not. That's for sure. And I'm a dual citizen as well. But I don't care.
All right. I'm just saying, you look kind of hypocritical when you're calling other people out. You don't.
But in this election, in fairness, Andrew Scheer is a minor league player in the hypocrisy contest.
Sure. I mean, if there was a race.
Mr. Blackface is the winner.
Yeah, he's well out in front. By the way, Andrew Scheer will be on the show tomorrow. So that should be a fun conversation. schools in Toronto and other parts of the GTHA, almost all of them at this point, will be closed on Monday if education workers strike. This thanks to CUPE, the Canadian Union of Public Employees, announcing yesterday that its 55,000 members are willing to escalate their Work to Rule campaign in lightning fashion. Christy, this is leaving a lot of parents upset and angry this afternoon on the text board, and a number of people who are in the union upset and angry at me for saying that this is something that is politically motivated.
Yeah, I'm bedeviled to figure out what the political motivation is, except to embarrass and cause distress to the Doug Ford government.
Yeah, that would be it.
That would be it. Okay. So maybe that's right. I am not a parent, but boy, if I was, I'd be awfully weary of these kinds of things happening, especially if your kid's in his final year of high school, her final year. It's a very important year, especially if your child has just joined a club or wants to do something extracurricularly, or is a low student and needs help, all of those things. So I understand why people are so very annoyed. I understand, though, that there are many good people in the education system, teachers, education assistants, who will not speak up, because to speak up in a highly charged union atmosphere is dangerous to your health, frankly. You can be shunned and all of that. They may not speak up, but my confidence is that they will continue to do the job and to protect the kids as long as they can.
Marika, how do you see this afternoon? Again, you know, parents have now a couple of days' notice to figure out what they're going to do on Monday.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw that they were closing the schools, because I remember when I was still in school in Toronto. And
not so long
when
ago.
These strikes happened. Long enough now that I'm like, when did that happen again? But I was surprised to see that they are closing, because that hasn't happened in the past when these strikes happen. I think that there was more information coming out from the TDSB on that. So I'm very interested to see what they say to explain that change this time around. But I think it's pretty clear that this is, part of it at least, is knowing timing and trying to work something to your advantage, and that's negotiations. And so I think that's why we're seeing some of these moves now, or at least it's hard to see how that wouldn't be part of it. And I guess we'll see where it goes. Often, you know, in the past, if strikes go on long enough, parents don't really care who started it. They just want the government to end it.
Yeah, Bill, it's interesting because we're not talking about a teacher's union here. We're talking about a union that encompasses a number of different professions, janitorial services, education assistants. And teachers have actually called in saying if the board would have allowed it, we would have been fine to pitch in for Monday, Tuesday, maybe not Wednesday, Thursday as the time dragged on, but we could certainly have rolled up our sleeves and helped out and made sure the kids were in school.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm seething about this, too, as we scramble around to try to figure out who's going to look after our kids next week. This here's why it's politically motivated. And maybe part of it is they see this as leverage. But this is the shortest work to rule in the history of work to rules, right? Normally, you drag that out for a little while and see if you can put the squeeze on them gently. But no, they're going to jump to a full strike right away. Why? Yes, to embarrass Doug Ford's government. But beyond that, even more so, to allow Justin Trudeau, the Liberal leader, to say once again, do you want this kind of chaos in the rest of the country? This is what you get with a Conservative government. It's completely politically motivated. I mean, would it kill them to open the schools for a couple of days and have the teachers help out and clean some of the toilets? Maybe some of the parents would show up. I'd rather show up and help take a broom and a mop to the hallways in the afternoon than try to figure out what to do with my kids next week. So it's just infuriating. And you're damn right it's politically motivated.
Could also be a great groundskeeper, Willie, given the Scottish thing.
But. It's true.
All right, move the broom out of the way there, lad.
That's uncanny. Three former students of St. Michael's College have pleaded guilty to sexual assault offenses and hazing incidents that occurred at the Toronto private school. They've pleaded guilty to charges of sexual assault with a weapon and assault with a weapon, stemming from three incidents that happened in 2018. Something that definitely caught our attention today was the lawyer for one of the accused, who said this.
As a society and as schools and different institutions are moving forward with their curriculums and with educating their children and our future, we need to ask ourselves, where did we go wrong? And what can we do as a whole and in each one of our institutions to make sure that behavior like this doesn't happen, to make
Shut
sure
up.
That this is something that we talk about, that we educate our children on.
Oh, she heard,
pick
she
me,
heard
pick
you.
Me, pick me,
she
pick
heard
me.
You, Christy.
She's channeling Trudeau, right?
No.
You know, I have a problem with blackface, therefore we all need to talk about racial discrimination. She's saying my client and these other boys did this bad thing, and that's because we as a society have done a bad job of teaching children that it's wrong to assault somebody with a broomstick. Well, guess what? There are all those other boys at St. Mike's who don't assault their teammates with broomsticks. They're all the kids that all of us know who are good kids, and somehow in the fog of, you know, confusion.
Adolescence.
Yep, the fog of adolescence. They've nonetheless managed to figure out that you don't go attacking somebody with a broomstick and you don't film it for your prurient pleasure. So look, these are young offenders. They will get the sort of tender care, and I mean that. I'm not being snide. I believe in kind, gentle sentences for young offenders. But make no mistake, they are singular characters. They don't represent teenage boys. This wasn't hazing. This was sexual assault. I mean, come on. And this lawyer is out of her freaking mind.
Bill?
She's absolutely right. This lawyer is absolutely right. This is society's failure. We need to send our kids to school to teach them the difference between right and wrong. Oh, check. Did that in this case. And then we need to take those who break the rules, which we've made through our parliamentary system. Check. We've done that. We need to take those people who knowingly break the rules and we need to punish them. And we need to teach them that they must obey the rules that society has set out for them. That's how society rights the wrongs and teaches others not to do it. So thank you for reminding us of our societal responsibility to put your clients behind bars somewhere.
All right.
Glad we didn't play the clip where she called them brave young men.
Yes.
She did not.
She did. Can we play that?
No.
I want Blatch's head to explode. Sorry, Marika. Give us one sec. Go ahead.
What we heard in court was difficult to hear. I think what we all need to realize is today, three very strong youth stepped up and took responsibility for their behavior. They took responsibility for their actions.
No, is there another one? I thought there was another one. She called them three brave men.
That is unbelievable. I mean, she really is channeling the prime minister.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am personally not responsible for anything, but y'all are, so we better have some conversations.
Marika, very quickly, you get the final word.
I think Christy nailed this on the head when she said that this is not hazing, this is assault, and now it's agreed upon in court. I mean, when I saw some of those details, it was pretty stunning, and I mean, there's still that whole question about accountability for the school that I think that will still come out in the weeks and months ahead. But certainly there's a reason why they pled guilty today, I think. And it helps the victims. I will say one thing. It does help the victims that they pled guilty today instead of making them go to court.
Would have helped more if they'd done it a long time ago.
Marika Walsh, Bill Carroll, Christy Blatchford, great chat today. We appreciate it.